Okay, you should have been given a sheet on the way in. And you'll see on the top of that sheet that it's got these words. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That's a verse in the Bible. And that verse is just underneath that, where it says this. Can you see it on the sheet? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what I want us to think about for a little while, okay? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know that many of you are not interested in football, but sometimes after a game on the television, you know, the experts supposedly are analyzing it, and they'll say something like, that was a game of two halves. And what they mean is that there was the two halves of the game were quite different. One half, one team was in the ascendancy. And then in the second half, it all turned around and the other team was on top. Sadly for Norwich, it tends to be one way, doesn't it? Well, a game of two halves. This is a verse of two halves. One half, it's pretty solemn, isn't it? Gloomy. The wages of sin is death. Wow. The second half is really very different, isn't it? Wonderfully bright and hopeful. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see the opposites in that verse. You've got wages, you've got a gift. You've got sin, you've got God. You've got death, you've got eternal life. It's a real contrasting verse. In many ways, it mirrors the Easter weekend. So, the wages of sin is death. That's Good Friday, isn't it? The cross. The judgment, darkness, death. And then you've got, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Easter Sunday. That's the resurrection. That's hope. That's life. That's light, isn't it? And what I want us to do for a little while this morning is to consider the events of Easter and the message of Easter through the eyes of this little verse. Now, perhaps you'll be thinking this morning, Hugh, can't we just skip the first half and get on to the second half? You know, can't we get straight on to that? You know, let's leave the gloom. Let's have the brightness and the joy. I mean, after all, it is Easter Sunday and we're going to hunt eggs afterwards. So let's just forget the gloomy bit, shall we? I mean, you can do that with football matches, aren't you? If you watch it on iPlayer, you could. If you know your team concede two goals in the first half, I mean, this is what I do. You skip it through that, and then you just watch the good bits, don't you? If there are any good bits. But we can't do that this morning, okay? Because we need to get a bit of the gloom, okay? We need to feel that. We need to, if you like, enter the darkness for a while, so that then we'll see the wonder of the light. Of the good news of the gospel. Okay, so can you come with me just for a little while? I'll try not to be too long in the gloom, in the dark, and then we'll come out into the light. So there it is on the sheet. I've sort of broken it down. So let's think about the first half of the verse. The wages of sin is death. That's a verse from the Bible book in this book called Romans, written by this man, the Apostle Paul. So first of all, let's think about wages. Okay. Wages, we all know what wages, well, perhaps you children don't know. Wages are what you earn, okay? Mum or dad goes out to work, they get wages at the end of the month. Wages are what you work for. Wages are what you earn, okay? Your boss doesn't say at the end of the month, I'm feeling really generous this month, I'm going to give you your wages. I mean, you've earned them, haven't you? Wages are about getting what you deserve, although you might think you deserve a bit more. And you might not get as much as many. I was looking at Cristiano Ronaldo. His wages, he's a footballer for Manchester United. He scored three goals against Norwich yesterday. He earns, his wages are £480,000 a week. Nearly £500,000 a week. That's wages. Okay, well, we understand what wages are, okay? Yeah, you might not get as much as Cristiano Ronaldo, but you understand what wages are, okay? What's the next word? Sin. Okay, the wages of sin. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word sin? Perhaps you groan inside and you think, ah, this is the bit where Hugh tries to make us all feel really bad. But I want to start by saying this. Are you listening? The idea of sin is actually recognizing our dignity and our humanity, our worth and our value. You see, it's a word that's reminding us that we're moral beings. That what we do and how we live, it matters. It's a word that speaks to us really about noble, honourable things, of, you know, right and wrong, and truth and justice. Now, actually, we all believe in right and wrong, don't we? We may have slightly different ideas about it, but we all believe in right and wrong and good and evil. We all have a conscience that tells us when we've done wrong. We all know what it is to feel guilty. We all want justice to be done, and we're angry when it's not done. So, you know, where does that come from? How would you answer that question? Where does it come from, that sense of right and wrong? Well, let me tell you where the Bible says it comes from. The Bible says it comes from the fact that we've been made by a moral God and we've been placed in a moral universe. The Bible says that this world has been made by, created by God. This incredible world, isn't it? I mean, do you really think it's here by chance and accident? I mean, that, to me, that takes far more faith than to believe in the resurrection, for sure. And the Bible says, well, God's made this world, and he's made us, and he's put us in it, and he's made us moral, accountable beings, and he's given us some laws. He's given us some rules, and they're good. Now, what are those rules? I wonder whether what would come up between us. Well, the Ten Commandments, we might say, those, you know, how the Ten Commandments are, the first one's about how we're to love God and not have an idol, and we're to worship God, and then those other ones about not murdering and not lying and not coveting and not committing adultery. Those rules, I mean, and they're good. I mean, actually, think about it, if we all kept them, this world would be a wonderful place. No war, no trouble, no broken homes, no deception. You wouldn't have to lock your door at night. I mean, it would be wonderful, wouldn't it? And then Jesus was asked once, what are the greatest commandments? And do you know what he said? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. That's what we're called to do. That's what our Creator has said, that's how you're to live. And the truth is, none of us have we? I mean, we can do some nice things, and we're capable of good, but we know our own hearts. I certainly know my own heart, and the selfishness, and the pride, and the wanting to be God of my own life that's there. And the same's true of you, too. And it's serious. In fact, it's deadly serious. And that takes us on to our last words. The wages of sin is death. Wow, we are getting gloomy now, aren't we? Happy Easter, you say. We'll get out of the gloom in a moment. So, the wages of sin is death. So, do you see what that's saying? It's saying, wages, we said, wages are what you earn, wages are what you deserve. And do you see what this is saying? That what our sin deserves is death. So when we ask the question, I mean, here we are this morning. I mean, we ought all to be interested in resurrection because, I mean, we've all got to die, haven't we? You can't argue with me about that. Why do we die? Well, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says we die because of sin, ultimately. Now, that's very powerful. That's very interesting because many people, of course, want to put God out of the equation and they say, well, death's just how it is. It's just, you know, it's how evolution works and, you know, that's how it's always been. It's natural. But let me ask you, do you think of death as natural? I mean, we all recoil from death, don't we? It doesn't seem very natural to us. When somebody we know and love dies, it breaks our hearts. And the thought of dying ourselves, we don't like it. And you know what the Bible says? Something radical. The Bible says death isn't natural. It's an intrusion in this world. That when God made the world at the beginning, there wasn't any death. And death is the result of sin. When God made Adam and Eve at the beginning, it was a beautiful world, a perfect world, the sort of world we all long for, because it's the world we were made for. And yet it's Adam and Eve sinned and brought in the consequences of sin, which include death. And not just physical death. When the Bible speaks about death, this is important. it means spiritual death. Because when God made Adam and Eve in the beginning, he made them to know him. So he made this world and a beautiful garden for them to live in. And they lived in this garden and it was everything was wonderful. And they walked with God and they knew God. But then that day came when they decided they wanted to be gods of their own lives. And it shattered everything. And it shattered their relationship with God. And separated them from God. And unless God did something, it would eternally separate them from him. So that's where we are. Okay, that's the gloom. Okay, do you feel it a bit? I do want you to feel it a bit. To sense, wow, that is serious, isn't it? And it is serious. And before we move on to before we come out of the gloom, just let me say this, that there's a sense in that which there's nowhere where we see this more than at the cross. So on Good Friday, we thought about the cross. You see, Jesus agrees to take our sin. He agrees to the perfect sinless one takes our place, stands in our places. I'll take their sin. And what happens to him? He dies. He has to bear God's judgment. He enters the darkness and knows God's judgment so that we can now, having been in the gloom, come into the light. So let's do that, shall we? Let's move on. We can breathe a little bit. And come out into the light. And the second half of the verse. Look at the second half. You see it there on the sheet. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's that but, first of all. And there's a wonderful word because it suddenly there's hope, isn't there? It's a bit like, you know, there's a turning point. It's a bit like that, you know, Good Friday, that first Good Friday, the disciples, they were in despair. You know, all their hopes have gone. Jesus has died. And it's all darkness and it's all gloom. And then suddenly, there's an empty tomb. And there's a light and there's hope. And Jesus has risen and they see him. And everything's changed. Okay, so but. There's hope. And there's the light enters the darkness. Then it says, but the gift of God. Okay, now we come to the heart of the Bible's message. The gift. At the heart of the Bible's message is a gift, okay? We need to understand that this morning. This is humbling news, but it's good news for us. So the Greek word that's here, used here is a word that doesn't just speak about a gift, a free gift. So some of your Bible versions will have free gift. It's the Greek word that speaks of a gift that's free and undeserved. So it's the opposite of wages, isn't it? So wages, you earn them, you deserve them. This gift, you can't earn it and you don't deserve it. So that's telling us then that we don't have to earn eternal life. Okay, that's what we're going to think about. We don't have to earn salvation. Lots of people think that, don't they? I have lots of people say to me, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. Well, that's irrelevant. None of us are good enough to be Christians. I'm not standing here because I'm good enough to be here. Well, people often think you've got to earn your place in heaven, or you've got to earn God's favor, and you've got to have not messed up too much. That is not the case. Good news this morning for people. I mean, you all look very lovely, as I said, but you're all sinners, as I am, and we've all got secrets in our lives and in our hearts and things we're so thankful that nobody else in the room knows about us. But we don't have to earn it, and we don't have to deserve it. It's a gift, a free gift. For unworthy people. You know, one of the things that really annoyed the religious people about Jesus was that he always was hanging about with disreputable people, sinners. And they didn't like it. But, you know, that's why he'd come. That's who he'd come for. Not to say their sin didn't matter, but to say, even though you're sinners, you can still come. You can still know God's love and God's mercy. So, but, wow, there's light. There's a gift from God. And what is it? Well, I'm not making it up, am I? There it is. The gift of God is eternal life. Wow, that sounds like good news. That sounds like something worth having, doesn't it? I mean, that is what the Bible's all about. So there's a great famous verse in the Bible, perhaps the most famous verse of all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. So that's the gift. You don't have to perish. You can be saved from your sin and you can have everlasting life. Now, Now, what does that mean, really? What is it? What does eternal life mean? We might think, well, that's about life that goes on and on and on and on. And it is. But it's more about the quality of life than the quantity. When the Bible talks about eternal life, it's really saying about life as it was meant to be. So again, we have to go back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve in the garden. And what's life like there before sin comes in? Well, they walk with God and they know God. They live in his world and they enjoy it. And they get up in the morning and say, wow, what an amazing sunrise. And they do all the things that they do. And yet they do it in fellowship with God and in thankfulness to God and loving God and walking with him. That's what real life is. And sin stops that. But Jesus came to restore it so that we can have real life. That's why we were made, not just to get up and go to work and watch a TV and do whatever we do and that's it, but to do all those things in relationship with God and with thankfulness to God. And that's why as people try and live without God, there's a lack of peace, isn't there, in our world? There's a lack of contentment. You know, you could actually earn £480,000 a week and it wouldn't satisfy you. It wouldn't give you peace. It wouldn't make you happy. Because there's only one thing that can make you ultimately know peace and joy and happiness that lasts beyond this world, and it's in Jesus Christ. This is eternal life that's found in him. So we've got to ask, how can we have that? This life that isn't just for this life, but for eternity and for a new world to come. How can you have that? Well, look at the verse. It says, it's a gift of God, it's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So where can you find it? You can only find it in Jesus. He's died, he's risen, he's dealt with sin, he's conquered death, and it's in coming to him, trusting him, that you can know life. And you haven't got to go, well, what can I bring to give to Jesus he'll give it to me? Actually, all you bring is your sin. Empty hands, really, and say, here I am. I need a Savior. I am a sinner. I know that. I need life. I want to know you. And you can have that life too. I mean, that's worth having, isn't it? That's worth considering. That's worth taking home a book and reading about. Eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ that you don't have to earn or deserve or work for. You just come as you are in your needs, confess your sin, ask God in Jesus Christ the Savior. Many of us here this morning have found that, haven't we? And you can know it too if you come and trust in this wonderful Savior. This is the message that's changed the world. It's turned the world upside down. It's shaped history. It's why countless people around the world today are rejoicing and singing of this wonderful Saviour and of the resurrection of the dead that's found in him.